Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Teeth, the teeth in the dark. Ugh.
I'm never going to sleep again. I'm never going to be able to sleep again.
There's at least three stories that have ruined my life.
Horrible.
Libby doesn't live here anymore.
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Bob Shoy, and with me, as always, is Beefy.
All right.
And Tiss.
Yo, yo!
And it's a long time since we did one of these episodes. We just call them ghost stories.
It's been too long. I've missed them.
So this isn't actually going to be a ghost stories episode. I haven't told you guys the stories I've put together for this one yet, but I've sort of tried to pick some of my favourite stories from listeners that aren't ghost stories.
Oh, okay.
Because we get a lot of ghost stories. So we've got some cryptid sightings. Awesome. And all sorts of UFO sightings and all sorts of interesting stuff on this one.
Oh,
so what
good.
I've done is I've put all these together and then I've saved back all the ghost stories ones, and we'll do a separate episode in a little while with all the ghost stories. And I thought it might be quite nice to do sort of like two of these a year, where we have like a ghost stories episode and then like an other stories episode. So...
sweet.
So this is just listeners' stories, I guess. A grab bag.
Sounds good. That's a bit different than ghost stories. So that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just going to be a grab bag of ghost stories and separate stories, but I had so many stories to go at in the end. I was just like, oh, let's do them separately. Let's take out all the ghost stories ones and do this.
Lovely.
So yeah, and we're going to read a couple each, and we've got some call-ins that I did with listeners over the last week, which we'll be inserting into as well.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Perfect.
So I'm just going to go straight into a story, if that's all right with you guys.
Yeah, oh, go yeah. for it. I'm ready.
So first of all, I spoke to a listener in America.
Nice.
Yeah, I spoke to him the other night. His name's Jake Farr, and I spoke to him. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning his time that I spoke to him.
Oh, that is dedication, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing, Jake. Amazing. I texted him in the morning our time and was like, I emailed him and said, when's good for you? Thinking he'd be asleep. And he was like, yeah, let's do it now.
Really?
So I quickly jumped on the mic and recorded with him, yeah.
Oh, thanks, Jake.
To be fair, he was at a party. He hadn't gone home yet. He was like, I'm going to go outside and talk to you. So I was like, okay.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but still, interrupting his party...
yeah, amazing. It was amazing. We had a good chat and he told me a few stories. So,
lovely.
I've got one that I'm going to play in a moment. This is a UFO sighting story.
Oh, okay. Bring it on.
I'm going to play that now. So you emailed me a little while ago, quite a while ago now, saying you had a couple of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. So which one would you like to start with? I'm going to throw the power into your hands.
I will start with the UFO one because it's the shortest.
Okay.
So my grandparents used to have a summer house in a place called Homosassa Springs, which was on the water. And my grandpa told me that he was just out there fishing one day and he saw a really bright light come like down the river in front of the house and it continued going, and then it came back and just left.
Okay.
And
did he say what sort of, like, shape? Was it just a one singular light?
Yeah, he just said it was, like, one really bright light.
Okay.
And that's not too weird, but my grandfather is not the type of person who would just, like, make up something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he says something, it's probably true.
Because sometimes it's the person doing the telling that makes the story weirder if it's not something you would expect them to say.
Yeah.
But did he say what he thought it was, or was he just like, I saw something weird?
He honestly thought it was like a UFO. I don't really know why. He didn't explain it too much. It was kind of a thing where he told me about it, but he was also kind of secretive about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not like lying to me, but like, you know, this is kind of what I saw and this is maybe what I think it is. So I don't know what he thought it was. From my understanding, he thinks that it was a UFO, which is just an unidentifiable object.
Yeah,
so it could have been anything. But that's what he thinks it was, that it's, you know, connected to UFOs or aliens or something.
How old were you when he told you about that?
Oh, man. I'm 30 now. He told me about that when I was like 15, 16, maybe.
All right. So, yeah,
like years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. If you were like a teenager or something. So he told you when you were that age that he thought it was a UFO.
Yeah.
What did you think?
From a young age, I believed in UFOs and aliens and everything else because I just wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
So I believed him. I thought, like, oh, okay, Papa saw a UFO. That's amazing. That's great. Like, I just believed it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would have been 100%. Exactly the same. I think I would have been the same at that age. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been, like, the best thing that someone could have told me.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So, yeah, that's the first of a few stories that Jake told me. That was the one about his granddad seeing a UFO, which is interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
What I found interesting about that one is, like Jake said, it's not necessarily the story itself, but it's the person who's telling the story can make it more interesting if it's from someone you're not expecting.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if we read, and we do, we see these kinds of stories in like The Mirror or The Sun or something like that, and it's just Toffee Crisp Man or something like that. It's, you know, you approach it with a level of nonsense, don't you? Like, oh, this is just a load of gumph. But if it's a family member, or if one of you guys came to me and you're like, I saw a UFO, I'd be like, whoa, that's crazy. So, yeah.
It's a bit like when I said a few years ago on the podcast about when my dad was fishing and he saw that ghost over the river.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's always stayed with me.
I was like, what? Because that's not the sort of thing that he would buy into at all. So that made me sort of like pay more attention to the story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's all about who it is rather than what it is you saw necessarily, I think.
It's like more believable that it's not so fantastical. It's like, I saw a UFO. That's the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's not dressed it up and said that he got like probed or something like that.
No.
Or they tried to tap into his brains or something.
What I want to ask Tiss, you weren't with us. Me and Beef last year put together a UFO sightings episode.
Okay.
With Sean. And that went up and we tried to find UFOs in Aylesbury. and played a few listener stories about UFOs on that.
Wasn't
but
successful.
Because you weren't there, you didn't sort of ponder on what we were pondering on that episode is, Tiss, have you ever seen a UFO?
Yes.
Whoa,
well, really?
I wasn't expecting that answer.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Everyone sees something that moves a little faster than they think it should,
right?
I think, in their life.
Like a Formula One car.
I remember it was like me and my dad went out for a walk. It was around Christmas time, and we saw these two like lights going through the sky quite not super low, but just like they were bigger than, you know, super far away, like a star. It was like they were in the atmosphere or whatever, and it just moved really quick. But could have been a plane, fuck knows. could have been a jet, like the, I don't know. But I saw that, and my dad was like, my dad's pretty sensationalist about stuff like that anyway. So he was like, oh, is it definitely a UFO? And I was like, I think it was. At the time, I think I definitely thought it was. In retrospect, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Sticks in my mind maybe. Enough.
That's pretty cool.
But I think it's the way my dad reacted was like, that's definitely a UFO. That is definitely a UFO. Mm.
That's cool, because me and Beef on that episode, we were both just like, nah, never seen one.
No.
Really?
Like, you see lights every now and then, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You don't think it's a UFO.
That's it.
I remember being a kid, and so I remember seeing one, and my dad was around, and he's like, nah, it's just a satellite. I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. When I was a kid, I always see it, and I'd just be like, it's probably a plane, and then...
That's it. Sort of dreams over.
But yeah, we had some good stories on the episode. Like Lauren, we had a story with Lauren I recorded at Charlie's wedding.
No way.
Had a story with Rick. Yeah, when I was driving around with Rick one time, I recorded him telling me his story. And yeah,
I just listened to this episode.
So I'll move on to the next story. This is one of ours. I'll go first then. So this is from a listener called Craig S. Is what his name was on the email.
Okay,
I sent it a while ago.
Hey, Craig.
Hi, Craig. Thanks for the story. So I'll read this one to you guys if you are ready.
I'm ready. I feel like I'm more ready because I'm lying on my bed.
Yeah.
It's like a bedtime story.
It's been hot, hasn't it?
It is hot.
So we're all laying down on a hot day listening to stories. So here we go. This is from Craig S. When I was 12 or 13, I lived in an unincorporated city in the northeast of Illinois. The city is not very dense and is relatively small. I lived near a lake and a forest preserve, so when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time outdoors. I hung out with a couple of kids older than me, and we were beginning to get kind of rebellious. We had a road in our neighbourhood that was heavily wooded. Me and two of my friends decided to make a fort in these woods. These woods were not part of a preserve or someone's property as far as I know. The houses on both sides of the woods both claim on not owning it, so we figured nothing would ever bother us. Unless they decided to bulldoze it and make a new neighbourhood like they did with a previous hangout spot. Anyway, this was going to be our new hangout. One day we decided to do something we shouldn't have and decided to take our paintball guns and have a shootout in the woods. I have a very cheap gun that came with a small plastic paint hopper. During the shootout, the hopper cracked and broke, so we decided to stop. We talked for a few minutes and then left and walked home. After about an hour at home, I snuck my paint gear back into the house and realised I'd forgotten my spare ammo tin back in the woods. It was just around dinner time and I told my parents I was going to my friends who lived a block away, but before I would stop back at the woods. So he's going back to the woods on his own, guys.
Ooh, That's a bad decision.
Now here's where things get slightly weird. No one knew I was going to the woods. I was going to run in and grab my stuff and then head to my friends. I went in and found my tin, and roughly 100 foot in, I saw something. I'm not sure what it was, and even after 15 years of thinking, I still can't explain. It was tall, maybe close to 7 foot. It was solid black in shape, vaguely resembling something humanoid. Its colour was kind of like an unexplainable void, just complete darkness. I saw no face. The only thing were two solid bright yellow things that could only be described as eyes given their position. The thing moved around slowly. When it turned towards me and stared, I ran out of the woods and onto the road. I looked back and saw nothing. It was 5 to 6 p.m. in the summer, and there was still plenty of sunlight to see what was going on, but I can't explain it. I ran and told my friends I was with earlier that day about what I saw and how I would never be going back in those woods. They didn't believe me. Then they went back and said that they saw nothing. I said that I would still not go back in there. About a week or so later, my friend knocked on my door saying I had to see what had happened. I followed him to the road near the woods. I refused to go in, but I could see what he was talking about from the road. There was a severed deer leg, not cut off with a knife, but completely ripped off with dangling fur and all, hung above the little entrance we used to use to get into the woods. He said he went in and everything was destroyed and knocked down. I said I believed him, but still refused to go in. I found a dead fish near the woods on the road around the woods as well, but I just figured that that may well be raccoons. Where we lived, there was nothing big enough that could rip a deer leg off, though, and throw it 20 feet up in a tree like that did. It's been probably 15 years, and every time I'm at my parents', I go by those woods, still refusing to go in, but trying to see if I can see anything from the road. It was one of the scariest moments of my life.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Creepy, right?
That's really horrible. Yeah, that's crazy. To think that... mind you, thing is, when things like that... like something about witnessing or experiencing something like that when you're a kid and the fear staying with you. Because I still can't go into the graveyard in Stukely.
Oh, right.
So when you did your EVP recording, that was why I was like, whoa, that sounds horrible. Because I remember stuff happening there when I was a kid and walking past it at night. So, but yeah, that's crazy.
Shit.
Tis, are you okay?
That is, I'm just... What instantly came to my mind is Signs, when the alien's standing in the front room,
just standing there.
Or like the video, the home video where it crosses between the bushes, like that terror I felt when I watched that film and the alien popped out. I mean, times 100, but still, like, I can relate to the shock and not willing to go back there is a.
Yeah, good, not wanting to go back in tactic. As well.
It's really vividly explained as well, the way he describes what he saw, even though he kind of didn't have much details to go on, still draws that it picture in your mind, the shape and the way it looked.
It's like reading a short story.
I read a lot of these on my own the other evening, and I did get a few like sort of creeping tingles up the back of my neck reading some of these. So yeah, I wanted to make sure we got that one in here.
Mm.
Wow, that's good. Thanks, Craig.
Those events get cemented in your head like pretty deep, and I think thinking every time you try and remember it, your brain always tells you a story like of similar, like it never goes away, even not seeing something so for so long or anything like that. It still sticks in those milliseconds of seeing something.
That leads really nicely into the next story, actually. You're talking about seeing something when you're young and it happening in the blink of an eye, but not being able to forget it. So this next story is a call I had with a listener the other day as well. And this is with Ben Mumford from Australia.
No way.
Yes.
That's amazing. Hey, Ben.
First Australian caller. So I know we've got a lot of Australian listeners, but I've never actually spoken to one. I had one call in. So it was really great to speak to Ben the other day.
That's so great. Thanks for taking the effort, man. That's really cool.
So Ben from Australia, from Oz, he rang in to tell us of his Yowie sighting. I don't know. I think we've mentioned Yowies on the show, but can you guys remember what they are?
Yeah, kind of a cryptid. Yeah.
No,
they're like little hairy Bigfoot men, like sort of hairy creatures.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like a Sasquatch type thing, yeah.
Yeah, seen in Australia, but they're kind of the smaller.
I was going to say, aren't they smaller?
They're like five foot tall, from what I remember, yeah. But these hairy, like hairy, stink smelly...
Apes. Or skunk apes, whatever they were called.
Yeah, a little bit like skunk apes, yeah.
That's it.
So yeah, he had a Yowie sighting, so let's listen to that now.
Sweet.
So you're calling from Australia, which is really exciting, and you emailed me quite a while ago to say you had a strange sighting.
Yes. So basically, it happened a fair few years ago. I'm 28 years old now.
Right.
And it happened when I was about 12 years old. It's ingrained into my memory. I can't forget it. I know what I saw. No one else believes me, but anyway.
So, yeah, sorry, you were 12 at the time.
Yeah, 12 years old.
So that's really stuck with you then.
It's just, I can't forget it, man. Like, not many strange things have ever happened to me like this. You know, I've never seen ghosts and never claimed to see anything like that. But Yowies are quite commonly seen out in this town called Kilcoy.
So, wait, before you continue, so you said you saw it was a Yowie?
Yeah, a Yowie is... basically an Australian Bigfoot.
Right.
There's a town called Kilcoy. I sort of grew up out there for about, I don't know, 5 years of my life, and then we moved away from that town. But my mother, she's always had horses, always loved horses. So one day we drove on out to Kilcoy, and she was about to look at this horse that she was going to buy. And we entered this property, and there was about 300 meters of dense forestry on either side of this driveway.
Right.
And then when you got to the end of the driveway, there was about 100 meters of just clear grass, clear landing. So when we got to the end of the driveway, we parked up and my mum went to go look at the horse just to see if she wanted to buy it. And me and my cousin were hanging on the side of the car, just playing around. And I looked to the end of the driveway, right where the clearing ended, just for a brief moment. And I saw a kangaroo bounce across the middle of the driveway and then bounce into the other clearing. The other side of the forest. Mm. It's quite thick shrubland. So, like, I didn't even see the kangaroo coming through the trees. I just saw it bounce onto the driveway and then into the next set of trees.
Okay.
Shortly after, I couldn't even believe what I saw. Like, it was just insane. Like, it's like a dream, but it actually happened. A little hairy man, very thick hair, like very, very dark hair, comes scattering after the kangaroo. Very quick, like within a flash, like the kangaroo bounced, and then 3 seconds later, just this little, probably 5 foot hairy man chasing the kangaroo. And because we're in the Kilcoy area, naturally, I just assumed it was a yowie. I've heard many locals talk about seeing yowies, being up in thick forestry, thick bushland. It's pretty common in Kilcoy. And there's actually a statue of a yowie that was erected in the town because so many locals were seeing so many strange things, like little hairy men.
So it's not really up for debate in Kilcoy that a yowie's real then. It's just accepted.
It's just accepted, yeah. It's quite funny, actually. The statue that was erected, they gave it a little penis, and the locals just like to like knock it off all the time. They kept replacing it, and they just gave up on replacing it because the locals thought it was hilarious to just keep taking it.
So there's a few people walking around with yowie penises for good luck.
Pretty much, yeah. Got it stored away in their house somewhere. But yeah, it's quite common. A person that we used to be friends with, I remember years ago, an old family friend, he used to go riding up in the mountains. He had quad bikes. And I remember him telling me a story. He come back all shaken up, like white as a ghost. And he said he was riding up near the top of a mountain there, and there was like a huge boulder. And he said he stopped for just a brief moment because he could just smell a terrible smell. It was like an overwhelming stench. And he reckoned one jumped down off a large boulder in front of him. He said it was the most intimidating creature he's ever seen in his life. And he said the smell of them was just horrendous. And he quickly got out of there on his quad bike because he was just terrified, and I can understand why, because what I saw was just, you wouldn't want to meet it out in the bushland. It's just like the last thing you're expecting is to just see that. And I can't even explain how crazy it was, you know.
So when that one jumped out that you saw, it didn't look at you at all?
It didn't look at me. It was chasing after a kangaroo.
Right.
I was probably 100 meters away from it.
Right.
But it was so quick, like in probably, the kangaroo jumped across, and then 3 seconds later, this little hairy man runs straight after it. And because the bushland's so thick, they blend in quite well. It happened so fast, man.
So all in all, it's just a matter of seconds, but that's sort of like burned into your memory now forever.
It's burned into my memory, and I know exactly what I saw. And of course, like, my cousin didn't see it. All I said was, "Oh my God, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that?" And of course, nothing. And no one believed me. I'd get laughed at.
That was my next question. I was going to say, did he believe you? But no.
No. Like, I'm not the type to tell porky pies. Like, it's just not me. I don't bullshit about anything. And this was the only story I can confidently tell. I know what I saw. And, oh, man. Yeah.
So you've been a believer ever since?
I've been a believer ever since. Ever since.
Amazing.
And I've heard multiple stories in Kilcoy, and the people out there are very brash town folk. You know, they don't really lie about anything. They're pretty boring. But when they do see something, you know, you can tell that they're telling the truth. So.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in and sharing your story. You're actually our first ever caller to share a cryptid story, so that's exciting for me because I've been wanting one for so long.
Excellent. Great. Excellent. Thanks, Bob.
No problem. Thanks for calling in, man. Really appreciate it.
Good to talk to you. See you, man.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. So there we go, guys. That was Ben from Australia telling us about his Yowie sighting, which was amazing. I love that story.
No way. That is crazy. It's cryptid stories are probably my favorite. As we were listening to it, I googled Yowie just to get it in my head because I thought I can't get Bigfoot out, and I was aware that they look different to Bigfoot. But yeah, that's crazy. That's really crazy. Yeah.
And he actually sent me a picture of the Yowie statue that he mentioned that recording. So I'll make sure that goes on the blog as well for anyone who wants to see the Yowie statue with the missing penis.
I want to see that.
Okay, well, I'll make sure I send it to you.
I want to see it with and without.
I don't have it with, I'm afraid.
Maybe someone's making like a Yowie penis bouquet.
Can we do a Weird Tales trip to Australia to remake the Yowie penis and see how long it lasts?
I would love. Can you imagine how much material we could get out of a Weird Tales trip to Australia?
That'd be amazing. God.
Not a lot. I'd be dead because it's so fucking hot. I'd literally just melt again.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of insects, and it's full of insects, isn't it?
If you're not a big fan of insects, you will literally fucking hate Australia the entire time you're there. Because, no, I love Australia the place, but I am just too British to take that shit. Like, walking through the woods and thinking about whether you're going to get killed, nah, not the vibe. There was a tree that was literally bleeding.
What?
Couldn't take it.
There was a tree that was bleeding in the middle of the woods. Like, me and Liz were chatting about how hostile the woods felt, and we turned to the side and there was a tree bleeding. I was just like, oh my God.
when we were in Australia years ago,
traveling so young when you think about it. It's amazing. Like,
well,
you
yeah,
got
but
in
we...
that year trip, like, younger yeah. than a lot of people do, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
You're like 18, weren't you, Beef?
I think I was 19. No,
19.
I think I was 19. But no, when I went with Rachel on our honeymoon, we went to stay with my mum's cousin, Ruth, who lives in Perth. And her son said to me, he goes, oh, do you want to, I'll give you a tour of our garden. And I said, yeah, sure. He was quite young at the time. And he's like, oh, I'm going to show you our garden. I said, yeah, cool. It took me out. And he's like, this is our swimming pool. I'm like, yeah, nice. Like the swimming pool. And he's like, this is our flowers, but we don't put our hands in there because of the snakes. And then he's like, I was like, okay. And then and he said, and this is my trampoline, but I'm not allowed to put my hand under there because of the spiders. I was just walking around the guys. It's all normal to look out for all these things.
All these horrible creature traps everywhere.
I've started following a Twitter account, which is, I think it's just called Weird Australian Animals or something like that. And maybe twice a month you get like this species. And the idea is that it's not just box jellyfish. They're dangerous because whatever it's, they choose stuff and you're like, that is literally designed to just be horrible and scare you and be disgusting and kill you. Everything in Australia is designed to kill you.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's a lovely country.
You're really
though.
Making me want to go.
It's a beautiful
that's
country.
That's why Australian people are so hardy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
definitely.
The thing is, the people in Australia, hats off to them, they don't give a fuck. And they love telling people how much they don't give a fuck that, like, there was a snake down the road and stuff.
I spoke to Ben for all of like 10 minutes and I already knew like he was a guy who didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
In the best possible way.
In the best possible way. Yeah, no, just love absolute it. Balls of steel. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Balls the size of Pluto.
But I'm okay being a wet fart.
Really, we got loads of Aussie listeners, and I love our Aussie listeners. Listeners.
I love Australia, and I love Australians. I just can't take Australia myself because I'm too weak. I have been nurtured too much, and that land is very unforgiving. But anyone who lives there, respect.
Yeah, but you would do if you lived there and you had no choice but to get used to the wildlife, then you would, I suppose.
No, I'd just kill myself, honestly. It's too much.
Kill yourself.
I would kill myself.
I'm joking, mate. I would get killed by the animals first.
So Tis is going to read this story from... So this is from a listener called just Luke, as he is on the email. He sent us this a while ago as well. And this story is called Imaginary Libby.
Luke Email. What's his name, right?
Yeah, his name's Luke Email.
That's literally the same joke from...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We referred to Tom Mail. Tom, who is a male, sent it for the mail. That's on the sampler.
Oh, God. When I was around 7 or 8 years old, we used to go around my auntie's house quite often to see my cousins, Keen and Libby. Libby was a little younger than me, and I have vague memories of her having an imaginary friend also named Libby. I recall Invisible Libby always having a place at the table, in the car, on the sofa, and even her own share of the toys. Invisible Libby was part of the family for quite a while and was just kind of accepted as a normal part of daily proceedings. After a catch-up conversation with my mum to help fill in the blanks that I couldn't quite remember, she told me one Saturday morning Libby came downstairs, jumped on the sofa and started watching cartoons. When it came to breakfast time, my auntie, as always, had made a bowl of cereal for Invisible Libby with no milk. Real Libby then turned to my auntie and explained that Invisible Libby wasn't here anymore, so there was no need for her breakfast. Confused, my auntie asked her why Libby was gone, to which my cousin replied, "She went away yesterday because she came downstairs this morning and her mummy and daddy were dead on the kitchen sideboard."
Oh, shit.
Safe to say, my auntie was pretty freaked out. Hell yeah! But as Real Libby didn't seem too fazed, didn't ask too many questions. She did ask her how they died, to which Libby said they were stabbed. And also where Invisible Libby had gone, to which she replied, "Home."
Where's home? Oh my life, this is weird.
My cousin, now in her 20s, has no recollection of Invisible Libby or her mangled parents, and my auntie refuses to do any research into the history of the house.
So there you go.
I wouldn't want to know.
No.
No way. No way.
Yeah, imaginary friends.
Yeah.
Topic we haven't gone into at all.
Yeah, so it's a strange one, isn't it? Imaginary friends.
Yeah.
Zachary used to have some.
Hmm.
He had Donnie.
Right.
There was Donnie, who ended up in prison for nicking a white van.
What, his imaginary friend ended up in prison?
Yeah. And then
he's
taken
up a cell that a real person could be using.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And then he had, like, something like Zidzy.
Right.
Oh, I can't remember. But they were Zidzy. So funny.
I didn't have an imaginary friend, but I imagine... I imagined the fat controller was like around the house sometimes. But like, it wasn't really a sort of two-way relationship. It was just like he was a part of the
furniture. What was he getting from it?
He didn't respect you.
No.
I had an imaginary mouse that used to follow me around. And my imaginary mouse was called Mouse.
Oh, lovely.
And that was it. But yeah, imaginary friends. So interesting as to whether you would think that was a ghost story telling a child weird things, a ghost, or is it just kids being creepy with weird imaginations? And if so, kids, why are you telling us that your friend's parents were stabbed when you're like so young? And with these ominous expressions, Libby's gone home now.
Libby doesn't live here anymore.
Your sister's had a penchant for that sort of stuff, though, right?
Yeah, my sister's a bit creepy like that, yeah.
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 I think kids genuinely are. Yeah, definitely.
Well, a guy I work with, Mike, who I've mentioned on the show a few times, his daughter one night went into his bedroom, and she was right sort of by his bed. He's like, "Daddy." And then he turns around and scares the shit out of him. And because that scared him, she did it like a few times because it's funny to scare daddy.
Yeah.
To the point where she would like wake him up in the night with a sheet over her head.
No.
Leaning over him.
No.
Oh my God.
Because it's horrific. Funny to scare daddy.
After a few times, I would then be fearless.
So he had to say, like, if you keep scaring daddy, you can't play on the Switch.
Oh.
So yeah, she stopped.
I'd have to lay down the law.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what I think of this one because, you know, just from having Joel and, you know, he's only two, but every now and then he sort of mentions something and me and Rachel are like, oh, we've never said that before. But then we eventually come to the conclusion, like, well, you know, he obviously heard it from nursery or, you know, he's picking stuff up all the time now. And like, there's probably stuff on TV. So like, we can't, Rachel was like casually watching, Friends the other day. I think like Joey calls someone an ass or something like that. And then, so Joel started calling Rachel an ass. She's like, well, we really need to keep an eye on this.
That Joey's a bad influence.
Or it's something like that.
Joey Tribbiani.
Joey Tribbiani. But some of it's quite cool. So like the other night he was laying in bed, he was just drifting off to sleep, and he goes, "Come on, you Spurs."
What?
Yeah. So he'd obviously, and like every now and then me and Rachel like have the football going, so he's obviously picked it up from that. Yeah, and I'm kind of in two minds over that. I'm thinking, well, yeah, kids pull up all kind of stuff, yeah, that's a little bit. I can't imagine where she would have heard that kind of terminology or where she would have come up with that in her imagination. Like, kids are very imaginative, but like, that's different, isn't it? Yeah, very weird. If I was his mum or his auntie, I definitely would not want to look into that.
So we're going to go back to sort of childhood sightings again. That seems to be a bit of a theme this time around. So I've got another story from a listener now who I spoke to the other day. This is from Andy Daly. I spoke to him the other night. And he actually had quite a few stories for me. So I'm going to play two of them on this episode. So the first one I'm going to play, he talks about being a child again. And seeing something strange one night. So let's listen to that now.
I was 8 years old at the time. And this was a real weird one, this was.
Okay.
Because it was the family home at the time, just in a little town called Leamington Spa. And I'd woke up one night and, you know, like how you know, things are ingrained in you as a child through experiences or through something's happened, but you're much able... You know, you're in a better position as an adult to interpret it better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was late at night, early hours. I'm guessing probably about 2 or 3 in the morning. I woke up and I decided to go into my father's bedroom. And that's what I did. You know, the lights were all off. It was really dark, but it was... We had a bit of a light because I remember there was a lamp outside and it had just come through the curtains in the bedroom. So, you know, you know how it's like dark, but you can still sort of see.
Yeah, you sort of have a sort of dusky half light sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I understand, you know, yeah, there were shadows there. Yes, you know, things could have been interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
But my experience happened when I actually climbed into the bed. I couldn't go back to sleep for a while. I don't know why, you know, it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember just looking around the room. And I was looking towards the door. I didn't fully close it, but I pushed it to just off, like, you know, the door locking. And I remember seeing the handle on the door slowly being pulled down, obviously from the outside. And I just was like really like fixated on this door. And the door started to open. You know, there's no creaks or anything spooky like that, you know. It just started to open. And this is the hard bit. This is the only story when I describe it seems really way out. But, you know, we've all heard of like Bigfoots and things like that, you know. You know, whether they're real or not, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's debatable, and it certainly wouldn't be, you know, in this country. But all I seen was like a Bigfoot. It was like a head of a Bigfoot. It was absolutely massive.
And you said this was sort of like, as the door was opening, you could see this sort of through the where the door was opening.
Yeah, well, it was the door. As the door was opening, it stopped to a certain point, but then a head appeared through the door.
Wow.
And all I remember was just looking at a black hairy face, and I could see the teeth. It was doing no expressions. All it was doing is just baring its teeth, and it turned towards me to look. And you hear things of like sleep paralysis and things like that. It wasn't sleep paralysis, because I got under the covers and I was really scared. And I remember like my hand towards my back, and I was like trying to nudge my dad to wake up, you know.
Yeah.
He wouldn't wake up.
So there was none of the like the paralysis that comes along with sleep paralysis. You were consciously awake and consciously able to move.
Yeah. But the thing is, I didn't move by choice.
Right.
I didn't move by choice. I remember that from like I said, you know, from that experience. I was under the blankets, and you know, even now I can recall the feeling, and it was just horrifying. And I waited a few moments. I can't say how long, I don't know, but I remember slowly peering above the blanket, and it was still there. And as I was looking, it like retracted it. It pulled its head back out the door, and the door started going backwards, and the handle lifted back up. And and the reason why I put it towards, I mentioned something like a Bigfoot was because it was a few years later, I was going through an old book of my father's,
right.
And it had the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot. I mean, that's debatable. I mean, it's another subject.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really did look like that, the head of that. It was ferocious. It was, I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it's something paranormal. It was 3D. I could see it. It wasn't like a shadow. It wasn't like a picture. It was,
it was
a 3D. It was like a person. It was there, you know? And like I said, you know, I don't know what it was, you know, I really don't know what it was.
But something like that has stuck with you your entire life.
Yeah, it has done. Yeah. And, you know, I quite often do tell that experience, you know, to friends and family and stuff. And
I mean, I'll be honest, you know, the way you described it with, you know, sort of peering through the door and you looking away and you looking back and it still being there and seeing the door, it did leave, like, I did really feel like sort of a shiver at the back of my neck, because I can imagine being young and seeing something like that I can't explain. And
It was horrendous. I mean, the thing is as well, the teeth, It was like there was no noise. There was no. Its face was in a fixed position when it was looking at me, and the teeth. It looked. I don't know if you could imagine like a Bigfoot demon or something. I don't know. I really don't know.
Right.
You know, but it was. It was real, and it was just horrendous. And you know, it's a story that I quite enjoy telling. You know. Now,
yeah,
but obviously not then.
I mean, obviously a scary experience, but it's like an interesting story to tell people. I'm sure you've had some like interesting reactions to that over the years.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I told my father and stuff, you know, and I told my siblings and stuff, but you know, they don't, you know, they were okay, you know, it's one of them. It's just like brushed off sort of thing, you know. But it was I'd say amazing, but it was also
terrifying,
horrendous,
right?
Yeah. It was definitely, but I ain't got a clue what it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a creepy one.
Nope.
That's fucked up.
I'm never gonna sleep again.
Horrible.
I'm never gonna be able to sleep again. Oh.
So
So yeah, what do you guys think?
Oh, I hate it. I hate it. I can't stop thinking about it, and I hate it.
Fucked up.
And I hate that after this, I'm going to have to get into bed, and I'm never going to be able to look at my door ever again.
The way he described it painted such a vivid picture to me, like he said about the teeth, the teeth in the dark.
You know what I thought of? The Babadook.
Yeah, a little bit, something like that, yeah. When he told me, when I was on the phone to him the other night, I could feel like a horrible creeping chill like running up my neck because he told me that.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't in the call. I don't think I could have done that. Tiss, how did you feel about that?
Fucking shit me up, man. Shit me up. I feel like it might have been like sleep paralysis, maybe, do you think?
But that's what I thought on the call. But he said like he remembers being able to move. He hid. He moved. There was no... And he said... There was no part of him that felt asleep. He didn't wake up afterwards or anything. That's what he finds so creepy about it.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. Oh. And I guess sometimes when you're kind of half asleep or you're aware that you've been asleep, but you're not sort of really, then, you know, you're sort of in that kind of dream state still. Mm. But this sounds like this was not that.
But him coming away from it, when he said he went under the covers when he came back, I thought he was going to say when he came back it wasn't there. But yeah, the fact that he said when he came back, it's still there. I'm like, oh, fuck that.
No way. Move out.
Yeah.
Why didn't he wake his dad up? I'd have woken my dad up.
No, I don't know.
And I'm like, Dad, can you wake up? And we are moving tomorrow.
So while we're on the topic of Andy, I'm actually going to play another one of his stories right now, like directly on the bounce. So he didn't actually originally call me to tell me this story. He had two other ones, which I'm going to save for a later episode. He had that one of what he saw when he was a kid. And when he was going to go, he said, I've got one more for you, actually, if you want to hear it. So I'm going to play that now. And it's about an ex-partner of his, an ex-girlfriend of his. So let's play that.
I have another one as well. I mean, if you have time, what it is, my ex-partner, I'll just tell you briefly now, okay. My ex-partner, I didn't believe, even though these experiences happened to me, you know, when people, you know, I'm very interested in the paranormal. It doesn't mean to say that I believe every story.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some truth to some stories I've heard, you know, but it's like... My ex-partner, she was telling me, you know, she could see things, but it wasn't, you know, when somebody demanded it, was something when it presented to her.
Right, okay. It wasn't something she could turn on. It was something that just happened.
Yeah, and this was horrendous. I mean, I'm willing to tell you, if you have time, can you phone back? Or
yeah, no, we can do it now. Might as well do it now while I have you on the line. I mean, it's amazing for you to share these stories with me, so.
Yeah, okay. I had I've got one brother. I had another brother who died when he was about 8 months, six okay. to 8 months. It was down to a cot death, but right. this was going back in the late 50s, coming up to maybe 1960 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat me down and she told me that a young infant has like trying to come through and stuff. And she got the feeling that it wasn't just a cot death. He was smothered. He was shook,
wow.
caused some kind of brain damage and then smothered.
Wow.
And obviously this was a massive shock, you know, I mean, I wasn't born at the time, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started to do a bit of digging around, you know, asking my family. I mean, both my parents have passed now. And my brother did actually tell me that he heard my mother saying to somebody many, many years ago that, you know, she needed to talk to somebody and she was talking to a friend or something, that she had shook her son.
Whoa.
And you know, smothered him. And this is something that has just, you know, blown everyone in the family, really.
Yeah. Wow. That's.
But the thing is, my partner, wow. my ex-partner, she knew nothing of this because I'd only been dating for 3 months. You know, and obviously, you know, you talk and you discuss personal things, but I didn't think there was any need to bring something like that up about, you know, my brother mm-hmm. right at this moment, so early on in the relationship, you know. But yeah, that was.
Can I ask? When?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So this is your ex-partner that sort of gave you this information.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So when she sort of sat down and told you this, had she told you before about these sort of experiences that she had had where she can get information or however? How, I don't know. I just wondered how she had described it to you.
Yeah, she did. She told me she did have certain things that she could pick up on, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And also as well, you know, it's just really fascinating because at one particular time, you know, obviously my dad's been, he's been gone for, I think, nearly 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, I think I was probably about 10 or something, and I'd had a watch for my birthday, and it was one of these old, you know, I think it's something like a Casio, you know, where you press it, it makes these little digital tunes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I can't recall the name of the tune. But my father told me some sad news. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, he's a good father. He'd done his best, but he was looking for attention. He told me something, you know, he had some kind of horrible illness, you know, for attention, you know. Mm-hmm. And that really, really obviously upset me being a young kid. It upset anyone really, wouldn't
yeah,
it? You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember going around to the park and I was on my own and I would play this little digital music thing on my watch and... You know, and I got really upset just thinking of my father and, you know, what am I going to do without a father and things like that. My partner said to me that I was out either in a field or in a park and I had a watch and I used to listen to music and he was really sad. And she said to me, do you know, can you remember the name of that tune? And I says, yeah, I do, yeah. And I says, but I don't know the name of it, but I can hum it out. Mm-hmm. And as I hummed it out, she hummed the same tune as me. And what the message was, I don't know how she got the message, but the interpretation she got was that my dad wants to apologise for doing that to me. And he just wanted to pass that on to her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know how to respond to that one. That's yeah, that's amazing. It's very must it be is. Very like a cathartic feeling to hear that as well.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because I think that's his way of, you know, saying sorry and for causing distress, you know, to his young son, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But even though, you know, I tell these events, you know, it's like I think unless something really happens to you,
yeah,
you can't fully truly believe it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can lean towards believing it, you know, oh, there's a very strong possibility. Yeah, I think that could actually be true. But I don't think you can be 100% certain whether something is true unless it's actually happened to you. Even now when I hear stories, I'm not 100% convinced, you know. I mean, I'm in the position where I think, yeah, you know, that could be true. He sounds quite genuine, you know yeah. what I mean? I do often lean towards that way in a person, and some stories, you know, I just think, nah, you know what I mean.
It's kind but, of, you know, it's kind of goes back to what we said at the beginning with your when you talked about your first experience, where, you know, when it happens to you, these feelings or these experiences can be so impactful on you, whether it is a ghost sighting or a religious experience or whatever. That, like you say, and like a lot of our listeners have said. When it happens to you, you just know. So
you do.
To put it forward to someone else, even if you feel like they won't believe you or they think you're crazy or whatever, that apprehension has kind of, you know, gone slightly because you're so steadfast in what you know you saw or what you know you experienced.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, it does go, but not in a bad way, not in a negative way.
No.
And towards that other person for thinking that.
No, of course.
Because, you know, we're all individuals, you know. I'm happy, I'm satisfied, speaking about, you know, what I've experienced.
Yeah.
And I'm confident in what I've, you know, what I've been through. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing stories. Thanks so much for sharing them with me.
Well, thank you for being interested.
So there we go. Really interesting story from Andy there that I'm really glad he decided just to tell me at the end. And you can hear on that recording, I didn't really know how to react to that, him telling me that one, but super interesting. And I have another couple of stories from Andy, which I'm going to save back for another episode. I had a really good conversation with him. So thanks again, Andy. So Beef, are you ready to read a story out?
Yeah, go for it.
I think yours might actually be the longest, Beefy.
Oh, that's all right. I'm good at reading.
Good.
Apart from I've got a really bunged up nose. I'm getting like crazy. My sinuses are really painful at the minute.
Apologies to all listeners about Beef's bunged up nose, but he's going to read you the story from Katie McCall now anyway, which she sent the email a little while ago, and thought I'd give this one to Beefy to read.
Okay, so let me get to... Oh, that is a longy.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has come from Katie, did you say?
Katie McCall.
Right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so from Emily. Way back in
from
the 90s.
Katie.
Oh, bollocks. Katie. Sorry. Sorry, Katie. Oh, dear. All right, let's start again. Yeah, you're not going to cut that out.
No.
So, Katie, here we go. Way back in the 90s, when I was 8 years old, I was playing with my school friend Emily. That's why I said Emily, because I read Emily. At the bottom of the garden of our old house. Our old garden looked out over fields and countryside, and we were attempting to build some sort of treehouse slash garden den in between a tree and the garden fence, which was made of widely spaced wooden slats so that you could see through the fence out onto the fields beyond. We were having lots of fun making our den, collecting sticks and trying to fasten them together until Emily stopped what she was doing. "Who's that?" Emily said, staring through the gap in the fence to the fields. I turned to see what she was looking at, and still to this day can't explain it. Oh, God. There was somebody moving swiftly across the field in a really bizarre outfit with a long brown coat or cloak made of sack-like material that had a large hood pulled up over their face and long sleeves trailing down to the floor. Their sleeves looked as if they were fastened together so that you couldn't see their hands, and their face was completely hidden by the hood. The image of this figure is still clear as day in my mind. The crops in that field were up to my dad's waist, brackets, and my dad was 6'4", and because they were so densely planted, you had to force your way through them and walk through really slowly. If you ever tried to take a shortcut through that field, you physically couldn't push through the densely planted crops as quickly as this person was moving. The thing that confused us the most was that the crops only looked like they reached this figure's ankles. That's weird. So they must have been walking on tall stilts, brackets, in a muddy, uneven crop field, or had freakishly long legs. What we were seeing just didn't make sense. Emily and I were so frightened, so would I be, that we threw our treehouse making tools to the floor and sprinted back into my parents' house, absolutely terrified. I remember my mum being really worried that something awful had happened, e.g. a stranger had tried to abduct one of us, because we were so shaken up. We were trying to explain to her what we'd seen, but she didn't believe us and told us not to tell fibs. She said that she was going to go and check to see if the figure had gone, and I remember begging her not to. Anyway, life went on, and as I got older, I found out a few strange things about our local area. When St. Cuthbert died in 678 AD, apparently his monks and followers carried his body on a pilgrimage around the northeast of England to find a suitable burial ground for their beloved saint. On their journey with his remains, the monks set up camps in various places around our region before finally settling on Durham, where Cuthbert is now buried and where Durham Cathedral was built in his honour. It turns out that the monks were supposed to have set up camp on the ground where my old house was, where a nearby street is named St. Cuthbert's Road, to commemorate the monk's visit. Of course, I knew none of this when I was 8 years old, and only found it out years later. When I saw pictures of the monks and their clothing in history books, I recognised the outfit as a monk's habit. It looked exactly the same as the thing we'd seen in the field all those years ago. So I have no idea what we saw way back in 1998. Perhaps it was just a weirdo dressed up in a strange outfit moving quickly around the fields. But having unearthed some strange truths about the local area, it seems weird that so many things point towards the history of monks, which is something that I was completely ignorant of in 98. I also have no idea how the figure was moving so quickly along the top of the crops. It doesn't make any sense. It is something that has stuck with me my whole life. Creepy AF.
Fucking
hell. There you go.
That's well signs.
Well signs.
Film of the week signs.
Oh, that's a horrible story.
So there you go. Possibly a ghost. When I was reading it the first time, I thought of like a... When she said it's so tall, my imagination was so different to like the way that story ends. I was imagining some like giant legged tall creature like moving along the fields with like a sack mask on, like some horrible Silent Hill type looking thing. But as it's described later on, it's more like a sort of monk looking thing, almost like maybe hovering along the top of the crops. So potentially a ghost story, or make of it what you will.
Do you know what I was thinking? And this is why, to me, I was like, oh, this is horrible. I've not seen the film,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know what this means. But it made me think of the re-release of It.
Right.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
No.
There's in one of the trailers, there's a clip of Pennywise doing some kind of like a jig, like a dance.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was thinking of, but like a man in a trench coat doing that, like across the grass.
Right.
It really freaked me out. That's horrible. That is, I need to go and like watch something funny for a bit, because I can't go to sleep now. This yeah. is horrible.
There's at least three stories that have ruined my life.
Well, the last, we've got one more, and it's not too creepy. It's just more interesting.
Okay.
So we'll see what you guys think to this. This is another one from Jake, who we listened to right at the beginning, who talked about his granddad viewing UFO. And I said I had another story from him. So let's listen to that now. So you said you had one more story.
Yeah, I have one more story. And this one is super weird. And it involves my grandfather again. When he was younger, I don't know how old he was, but he was with my grandmother, at least. They were married at the time. He was with his father, my great-grandfather, and they were working on a motorcycle or something, and my grandpa burned his arm somehow, maybe on the engine because it was hot or something. He just got a burn on his arm. So they took him to the hospital, and on the way there, he said to his dad, you know, this is really hurting me really, really bad. I don't know what to do. This is awful. And he said, okay. His dad pulled over to the side of the road and put his hand on his arm, and my grandfather said that the burning feeling just left his arm. It just went out of him completely. And as strange as that is, I think it's even a little bit stranger that what my grandpa says that is that his dad could take the fire out of people. That phrase specifically, take the fire out of people, is like something that's normal to them that maybe people can do. It would be like if I told you, hey, I have telekinesis, and right. you immediately know what that is. And they say it like that's just a thing back then, that people could take the fire out of people.
So he sort of, that pain he was experiencing, He sort of drew that out of him.
Yeah, he just drew it out of him and took it away completely just by touching him somehow.
Okay, that's really, I haven't come across that one at all. That's really interesting. That's I haven't had anyone tell me that story before.
Yeah, I always thought that was super weird, and I've never heard of it. And like I said, they refer to it as like, oh, he could take the fire out of people, as if it was just a thing that some people could maybe do, which I always thought was really weird, because that's a very strange thing for someone to be able to do. That's not a normal thing.
Do you know, like, when he took the fire out of them, did he take on any sort of pain or sensation himself as he did it?
Not that I know of. His dad didn't, like, take the pain on himself.
No.
He just put his hand on him
just
and just took it out. Yeah, just like a healer type of thing, just took it out. And I guess he did that for other people too, maybe, because again, they said like he could take the fire out of people, which made it sound like he had done it before.
Yeah, that to me suggests that's like something he was known for doing.
Yeah, that's just something that he could do. And that phrase is so strange to me, because I've never heard it before ever, and I constantly am watching YouTube videos on weird paranormal stuff. I obviously listen to your podcast. Like, I'm all about weird and unexplainable stuff, and I've never heard of this ever.
I'd be really interested in, like, if we get this story on the show, if any listeners have experienced anything like that or know anyone like that, if they would, maybe if I receive any emails, I'll make sure I pass them on your way as well.
Yeah, I would love that. If anyone else has experienced this or know about it, I would love to talk to them and hear about it, because it's just so weird. I've never heard about this before. Yeah. And like I said, my grandpa is not the type of person to just make up a story for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So it's very strange, but I don't really have a reason to not believe it, because he's just an honest person that, you know, wouldn't tell me some crazy story just because.
Yeah.
So it's very weird.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing those stories, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, no problem.
So, that's the last story from Jake. He did have one more story for me, but I'm going to save that for another episode as well. But yeah, what do you guys think about that, being able to take the pain out of people like that?
Well, when you initially...
What kind of pain?
Like, he said burning, wasn't it? It was a burning pain.
Hmm. Well, he said he could do it with all sort of pain. It was just like a thing he could do. He could take the fire out of people. When he says fire, it's not necessarily a burn. It's just pain. He could take that fire, the pain out of people.
But see, my thoughts immediately went to like healing,
right?
In the sense, in like a religious sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you were explaining that his great granddad had prayed for him,
right?
But yeah, this idea that there's terminology around this, the taking the fire out and stuff like that. That's pretty weird. Yeah.
So you go, like Jake said on there, like, if any listeners know anything about that, I've heard anything about that, send an email my way and I'll make sure I pass it on to him. Sure, he'd appreciate
that. Yeah, that's cool. I just thought of John Coffey from The Green Mile.
Yeah, that's what it made me think of, The Green Mile.
Yeah, healing.
Sorry, boss.
I love that film.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I went to. It's that's really weird, but It's almost, just the way that it was, like, normal. That's what granddad did. He used to do that. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah, that's weird.
So there we go. That's the last of our stories for this episode. I think we had a good mix there.
Absolutely.
We got to listen to a few and we got to tell one each. And so thanks to all the listeners who sort of got in contact and told us those stories. Amazing.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
So we'll go for our outros. Guys, have you got a listener of the week out of this batch?
No.
I'm leaning for Ben, just purely for being our first Australian listener to call in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listener of the week.
So, listener of the week, Ben, thanks so much for getting in contact with your Yowie story. Not only were you the first person to call in with a cryptid story, you're the first Australian listener to call in. So, yeah, really appreciate that. And big love to all our listeners over in Australia.
Which way does the toilet go?
It's the opposite way to us.
I'm going to get my butt kicked for that comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a great episode.
It is such a great episode.
We nearly went a whole episode without making any Simpson references.
I watched that episode quite recently. It's so funny.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey spoony before.
Outros.
Yeah, outros. Okay, let's smash this up. So, if you want to get in contact with your own stories, and we will be putting a ghost stories episode together as well as this one. So, if you have any ghost stories, get in contact at unexplainableuk@mail.com, or you can contact via the website weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, where you can also find links to buy merchandise via TeePublic. You can donate via PayPal. You can go on the blog to get any information based on any episode. I've always put the links of things we mentioned. I'll put that Yowie picture on there of the statue. You can find links to find our Facebook page, our Twitter handles, all that stuff's on there. I am also having a go at launching a Patreon soon to cover my time spent editing my various podcasts. This one, 5 Minute Folklore, which I'm looking to relaunch, setting up with Rick now. And I am starting a new podcast, a film-related podcast, which is we're just about to record the first episode of in a few days. So if you want to support my time in doing those shows, then you can find that at patreon.com/Bob Shoy. That's B-O-B-S-H-O-Y. There's a short video on there that explains everything that you get for your tiers. Basically, for $5 a month, you get a hell of a lot. So, yeah, if I can keep to that timetable, we will. I'm going to give it a couple of months. And if it's not paying for it, I'm going to have to cancel some of these pods. But go on there, go on the website, go on the Patreon. You'll see the video. All that information will be on there. And that's about it, right, guys?
Yeah.
I think so. You covered everything.
Yep. All right, great. So instead of a outro music or anything this week, I'm going to see us all out with one final story. And this is from Gethin Oliver. So until next time, we all love you. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye, see you later.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Love you.
And this is the final story of the week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
My brother, who is 3 years older than me, suffered with acid reflux from birth, and he'd frequently vomit. Due to this condition, he struggled to lie down without being physically sick, and he often would throw up in the middle of the night, sometimes even twice during the night. As I shared a room with him, I would get woken up by this commotion, my brother shouting and my mum rushing in to clean it up. As I mentioned, he'd do this almost every night, and I'd gotten used to it over the years, sometimes waking up for my mum to simply say, "Go back to sleep, your brother has been sick," and I'd drift back off to sleep. So, one night when I was 10 years old, I woke up to the sound of shuffling on the carpet. I was extremely tired, as it was the middle of the night, so I didn't immediately open my eyes. The shuffling sound continued, and I instantly assumed my brother had been sick and that my mum was shampooing the carpet like many times before. But the lights in the room were off, which was a bit strange. I thought that maybe she didn't want to wake me. Lying on my right-hand side, I opened my eyes and squinted across to the window of the bedroom where I saw a silhouette of a tall figure standing there looking outside. My brother is much taller than me, and I assumed this was him, awake from just being sick and possibly taking a minute to compose himself while my mum cleaned up. In my half-conscious state, I decided to roll over onto my left-hand side to get more comfortable. My eyes were closed. Now I was facing across the room to where my brother's bed would be,
and towards where I thought my mum would be crouched down shampooing the carpet. I squinted out towards my brother's bed, where I saw him lying there, facing me, sound asleep. I can't explain the instant feeling of fear that rushed over me as I shot upright, my blood curdling, and gazed across to the window. In less than a second, and as I opened my mouth to scream in terror, the figure stood by the window, jumped towards me, and a long black shape, which resembled a tail, lashed out, and everything went black. The last thing I remembered was the piercing, red, glowing eyes from the blacked-out figure. I woke up seconds later, lying on top of my covers, in a pencil position, straight with my arms beside me. What was strange was I never slept like this. Also, it was now suddenly morning. The curtains were drawn and light was shining through the window and illuminating the room. It was as if I'd woken up from a strange, vivid nightmare. I looked over, and my brother was already up and had left the room. I shook it off, clambered out of bed, and went downstairs. When I got downstairs and entered the living room, my brother was sat cross-legged on the lounge chair, eating cereal and watching a documentary on the History Channel. I could tell he was in a really good mood, too. He asked how I slept, and I slumped myself down on the sofa and asked whether he'd been sick last night. He said that he hadn't, and then I began to tell him about the strange nightmare that I'd had. As I began recalling the events, his face went white, and his happy expression faded. I could tell he was becoming distressed the more I explained about my dream, and then I finished by laughing off and saying, "Don't worry, it was only a stupid dream." My brother set his cereal aside, and I'll never forget his next words. "The same thing happened to me the other night." The same blood-curdling fear from last night came rushing back to me. My brother explained how he had had the same nightmarish experience and how he too pushed it aside as a bad dream. He said he woke in the night to a tall figure standing by the window, assuming it was me. By the time he looked at my bed, realized I was asleep, and gazed back at the window, the dark figure with the red glowing eyes lashed out with a long black tail, and he blacked out. He explained how he woke up seconds later in the same pencil-like position, lying on top of his covers. He told me that I had explained the whole thing like for like. Pretty much every detail was the same way he experienced it. We started talking about aliens and monsters and all sorts of things that morning, but nothing like that experience ever happened to us again. Years have passed and I'm 27 now. I've recalled that event every now and then, thinking back and assuming it was just a dream. A weird lifelike nightmare that seemed real due to all the nights of being woken up by my brother being sick. I even questioned that the morning with my brother had even happened, that may have just been part of the weird dream too. Recently I asked my brother about it though, trying to make sense of it, wondering whether he remembered any of it. When asked, he told me the story again, in the exact depth of detail I could recall it in. We again started to speculate on what it could have been. Whether it was a reptilian alien coming to abduct us, or possibly a dreamt-up monster being the result of some film we had watched together that had a deep haunting effect on us, it's definitely something unexplainable.
Fucking hell. That's well signs.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.